This episode of Bushwick Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. That's right. You out there is how we get our 7-year extension of keep doing this podcast, of which we've already done 6 years, but we forced our way to the Rangers, so we're trying to keep doing this podcast. So if you go to patreon.com/Bushwick Breakaway, we can keep talking about Adam Fox for the next however long we can stand each other. That's right. All right, fun show today. We talk, you're never going to believe it, Adam Fox extension, the crappy play in Seattle, and a bunch more. Greg and I get all into it. Screw it. Let's get to it now. Here's Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Bushwick Breakfast. Welcome to the week of the Bushwick Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead of Patreon.com, where you can subscribe to the whole Patreon.com of Bushwick Breakaway fame. You can support us there, where we have cool things like the Insiders Chat, where I leak cool stuff that might happen on Mondays. Gregory, how are you?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Ryan, I'm not a guy who likes doing this. As many people know, I don't think there's any more louder critic of you than myself. It's what I'm
my dad is
most
very
proud
quiet.
Of in this
it's
world.
True.
And people will just say that this is me spewing facts, but the 50-some-odd people that are in our Insider channel will know that you had this shit at 1 o'clock, and the only people you told were the people in the Insider chat.
I did. I'm not going to take any kudos because I did not announce it anywhere else, but let's get right to it. Adam Fox has signed a 7-year extension for $9.5 million with the New York Rangers. Our good friend Shayna Goldman has already put out a chart what his projected contract and market value would be, and it goes up to like $15.8 million in year four. That's
yeah,
where
it's
we're
crazy
at.
Because he's just really fucking good.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Turns out Adam Fox is really good at hockey. And what's so great about Adam Fox is, I mean, how do I start and end this sentence, right? The answer is everything. He does everything. Yes. He's from New York. He grew up a Ranger fan. This is what he forced his way to the New York Rangers. He's the reason the New York Rangers defensive core actually works. There was a point this weekend where he went to the locker room and my heart fell out of my body. I threw it up out of my mouth and had to reinsert it back into myself. Adam Fox is a New York Ranger for the next 7 years, or the extension rather is for 7 years. The guy is here forever. And if you're asking yourself, why 7 years, not eight? The answer is money, and so he can get a second contract.
Yep.
And that's it. We have a lot to talk about with Adam Fox here, but he's really good at hockey. He's literally limitless. He's, and we hate to use this word, but could be a generational defender, a player.
I hate to use this word.
I love using that word. I love it. I'm a big fan.
Could he have timed it better? This is a fucking Harvard-educated man that we are talking about, right? And he's
on a Monday, no less.
One of the first Harvard-educated hockey players that you and I have both taken a step back and go, yeah, it makes fucking sense that guy went to Harvard. Do we think he was sitting on this extension the entire year, and he said, I'm going to wait to announce this until the night after I score the game-winning goal somewhere. I don't know where that game-winning goal is going to happen, but I'm going to wait until literally Ranger fans feel like they can't possibly love me more, and then I'm going to give them 7 more years of chances to love me more. And this could have been announced months ago. And he's like, no, man, I'm waiting for this fucking game-winning goal. It's going to be great. I have a plan. Everybody relax. And once again, Adam Fox had a plan.
He did. Adam Fox is criminally underpaid at $9.5 million, which brings us to the future of the Rangers salary cap. One of the most exciting conversations there is on the internet. And I know you're
I have to pull up Cap Friendly. Hold on.
There's a great account called Hockey Statmeyer. If you don't follow him, you should. He has the Rangers with, if Kako and Blay sign their RFAs at reasonable deals next year, Kako, you would imagine, doesn't really have a great chance to have a tremendous bridge deal. It's probably going to be around $2 million, $2.5 million, similar to the Philip Hedel deal. That leaves them with no second line center, and the team that they have now with Goodrow on the first line. By the way, the Goodrow contract looks worse and worse all the time. I'm just saying. I know they can move it,
Hey, he scored again last night, buddy.
Magical empty netter. Just, I mean, really a 200-foot player. He has the Rangers are winning games in the worst fashion I've ever seen. Like, I think if Adam Fox didn't sign this extension.
We're going to get there. Don't you worry.
All right. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, here's – so cap-friendly currently has the Rangers at $10 million, give or take, in cap space. 10.5 if you want to be even, mm-hmm. going into – at the end of this season, the beginning of next year, in which Alexander Georgiev is not signed. Lieber Hayek, who, by the way, still here, is not
still
signed.
Still here.
The god Kevin Rooney is not signed, and then, like you mentioned, really it's Sammy Blais, Kaapo Kakko. There's no way Sammy Blais, in my opinion, is getting more than 2.5. He's making 1.5 right now. I think that's fair. You look at every Brandon Lemieux contract that's been signed, and that's essentially what Sammy Blais will get, regardless of how well he does this year or not. Kakko, I think he's going to be between a rock and a hard place on a bridge deal. I don't expect him to get the $3 million that Ryan Lindgren got on his bridge. Honestly, I'd be hard-pressed for him to get the 2.3 that Filip Hedl got on his bridge. If anything, he might get Hedl's number just because of draft pedigree. But this isn't me saying Kakko deserves that little. He doesn't. He obviously deserves a ton. And if the Rangers were smart,
he's got
to
do a lot more sign him, this season.
They tried to sign him long-term now while he's cheap, as opposed to waiting for him, waiting for his ability to catch up to his ceiling. And that's, you know, a conversation you and I have had about bridge deals since literally the inception.
They're
of
not
this
good.
Podcast.
Kakko's agent, if he accepts that deal, is should be fired. So let's put it
yeah, but Ozzie Albies had an agent that accepted that deal on his behalf. So
who
anything
did that? Is he still his agent?
Like Geneva Convention needs to be talked about with that one, because it's just goddamn ridiculous, Ryan.
Joey, how's your money going with the Braves?
Ugh, I've made so much money. It's so fucking annoying. It's really, it's so damn annoying. Them being up 3-2 going back to Houston is just, some guy named Dylan Lee started for them and they won a goddamn game. I don't want to talk about the Braves, Ryan. We're talking good vibes here.
We're talking good vibes.
Now, again, we should make note of this, right? Specifically, there's always money in the banana stand. You and I have always said that.
There's always a way to make things happen.
Right. I think the Rangers, if they need extra space, will find that extra space. And they can potentially have more than $10.5 million.
To find that extra space, though, right now is not easy.
Is it though? Because one of them has scored 7 goals through the fairly first, 9 games?
That is the – yeah, that player is the way you – create cap space. I will say that. And Chris Kreider has Chris Kreider ever been this hot? I mean,
yes.
Yeah,
the answer to that
actually,
is yes.
Every season, every 4 weeks.
we do this all the time. Chris Kreider, he's like 3 weeks on, 2 weeks off kind of guy, and he just for the first time in maybe his entire career, the 3 weeks he's decided to be on are the first 3 weeks of the season. And God bless the man. Without Chris Kreider, Adam Fox, and Igor Shesterkin, where the fuck are the New York Rangers right now? Last in the Metro? Probably?
Oh, yeah. Dude, without Igor, and I wish, speaking of long-term extensions, I wish we would have signed Igor for 9 years. Like, this guy is the goddamn truth.
Ryan Mead famously against 7-8-year contracts.
Extremely against.
Igor Shesterkin needs 12.
Extremely against.
Give him the DiPietro.
I really don't like anything that's past 6 years, if I'm perfectly honest, but I couldn't love the Adam Fox deal more. And the Igor thing, I get why he took the deal he did. But to watch it, he's the only reason the Rangers are succeeding. I mean, Adam Fox plays a big part in this too, don't get me wrong. But the saves that Igor is making right now is Lundqvist-esque. There's no other way to put it. He's playing at a very high level. Can he sustain this? Can he get better than he already is? I'd love to see that. But the Rangers cannot rely on that on a week-in, week-out basis, because they're getting the brakes beat off them. The Seattle game, they won. Like, it was probably the grossest I felt after a win. You know, it starts at 9:00. You stay up a little late.
I don't know. You felt pretty gross about the Maple Leafs game there.
Did feel very freaking gross about that. But this is what this whole season has been. I'm in this really weird state where, man, the Rangers are winning. They're grinding games out. They don't look good at all, but they're winning. And yeah, I have a defenseman that is possibly the best defenseman in the league now on my team, and I have one of the best goalies who is going to be a Vezina candidate this year. But the offense, it just hasn't. It's looked inept. Like I have nothing nice to say about it. There's the power play has been broken. The only player that's doing really anything offensively is Chris Kreider and Adam Fox. And I know Panarin has 8 points through 9 games, etc. He's still finding a way, as superstars do. But there's just like everything from bringing the puck into the zone to the power play to just some stupid turnovers. There's been just so much of like, what am I watching? And hey, maybe it's just Gallant's system, you know, taking time to get into place. But I was told system's super simple. We're going to get right to it. But they have not looked good offensively. But yet here they are, 6-2-1 after these games at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think it's important to emphasize a point that we've been making, where the Rangers, it is totally fair, and you are not being a negative Nancy to say that this team, simply put, just doesn't look right. But there are reasons to be kind of encouraged by this team not looking right, because if there was one thing going into this season that you, the fan, and us, the podcasters, were super confident about, is that the New York Rangers were going to be able to score the puck. So the fact that the one thing they haven't been able to do yet this season is score the puck is kind of like a good news, bad news situation, because there's just no way this can continue for the entirety of the season. And that's true. At the same time, I think part of what made specifically the Seattle game so disappointing is that the Rangers were just clearly coming off their best performance of the year against the Blue Jackets.
The Blue Jackets
I understand that the Blue Jackets, despite how well of a start they have gotten off to this year, we still expect them to be one of the bottom 10 teams in the NHL and probably the bottom dweller in the Metropolitan Division when the season is over. But with that being said, again, they had gotten off to a really great start this year. So the fact that the Rangers playing this hot team while they aren't playing hot just dominated every second of that hockey game, and then followed that performance up with the just wet fart
stinker
that was Seattle is disappointing. I guess, again, there are excuses that we can find, and let's try to find them. The one I would use in the Seattle game is it's the Rangers' first West Coast trip of the year. They didn't have time, or Gallant didn't feel like a practice would have been necessary to do after the West Coast, the Western flight. So the Rangers were coming in to that game without a practice, yada, yada. I got concerns about Nils Lundqvist not being in the lineup. But again, you can make the argument that Nils Lundqvist, when he played in the Swedish league, never had to fly 6 hours and deal with a 3-hour time difference between game and game. And again, there was no practice in between those games. So if you wanted to put Tenorti into that game, I actually can kind of understand it. At the same time, great hockey teams do start the season 6-2-1 when things aren't clicking, but we're getting to a point where it's no longer just a small sample size for the Rangers being unable to score. We're not quite there yet, but it's rapidly approaching, and at some point, the New York Rangers are going to have to do some things to get this lineup to score. It's not just going to be as simple as continuing to run out the exact same lines and assuming Zibanejad, Panarin, Strome, Hedl, that these guys are just going to have it click. At some point, you're going to have to rock the boat a little bit. You should be doing that while Igor Shesterkin is playing this well, in my opinion. But, you know, the Rangers are 6-2-1. Their first 9 games, they have played this well in a division that, even with the Bruins going back to the Atlantic, and we're going to have Sarah Griffin on later on this podcast, we should make mention, it's going to be a really hard division to finish in a playoff spot. So the fact that the Rangers are playing poorly and still winning 66% of their games and never really looking, again, thanks in large part to the goaltending, out of any game that they play, that's good news. But it's going to stop being good news eventually, because at some point you need this team to score. They need to wake up.
They do. And that comes on the shoulders of a few different players. I mean, I don't expect Goodrow to come in here and do anything but what he's done, which is try and play defense, play PK, make things happen, do dirty work. Cool.
Yeah, you're expecting more from Dryden Hunt. I understand. You have.
I am, who is the new Barclay Goodrow and is genuinely an important player for this Ranger squad. But, you know, players like Lafreniere, Kako, and especially Mika Zibanejad, who Mika's played well, but he just hasn't scored at the way he was, the rate he was last year. Now maybe that game is coming. That Mika game is always right around the corner, where he just absolutely takes fire and wins the game himself for you. But that just hasn't been the case so far. It's just been Chris Kreider. Chris Kreider had multiple chances for goals last night. He had a second breakaway by himself with his Chris Kreider-like speed into the goalie. And just wasn't able to make that happen. But Mika in general has just been, he's been okay. He's been all right. I think he's had some good playmaking in him. And Panarin's trying his best, and he's definitely finding a way to produce points. But the team goes as far as those two players go. Mika Zibanejad and Panarin, when it's all said and done here, Greg, are the offense for the New York Rangers. Yes, Kako and Lafreniere have to take that next step, but they clearly are not there yet. I think Kako and Lafreniere, you'll see them get kind of rolling offensively in the middle of November, late November. I think both of them will, the comfort zone is starting to get there. Kako obviously just came back from an injury. But these two players, the Rangers are only going to go as far as those two players can take them. Because Igor could do that. If Igor could do that every night, that's great. But only one player, or only a few goalies in history, have ever been able to do that sustainably. And one of them is now on the MSG broadcast. So that's
Steve Valiquette.
Steve Valiquette, an absolute legend. Four shutouts. Yes. So just... I don't know. That's where we go from here, where it's, can this offense wake up? Does Gallant try and switch things? Like, I guess Goodrow, what you were asking, you were saying, hey, what about switching up the lines and stuff? I mean, Goodrow's on the first line. And people slaughtered me
Yeah, here's the thing. That's not the switch that I was implying,
Ryan. I didn't think it was. But Goodrow, like, when I posted over the summer, like, hey, Goodrow's probably going to play second line right wing minutes. People were like, no. Like, well, he's a first line winger now. So there you go. Like, I don't know what else to say. He's been what he's as advertised. That's just it.
I'll say this, and I said this when Strome was injured, but it's still just it's apparent now that until they prove otherwise, I think you just have to play Zibanejad and Panarin together. And I think now that, especially since Kako and Strome are both healthy, I think your second line just needs to be Lafreniere, Strome, and Kako. And again, I understand Panarin has this friendship with Ryan Strome that is, you know, stuff of legend. We're going to see it in a rom-com one of these days, I'm sure. The next Lifetime movie we see is not going to be about some dude from Connecticut, but it's going to be about Strome and Panarin. But it's so important to get those players going, like you said, that you almost have to put them together to wake them both up at the exact same time. And then when things are working, we can then talk about splitting them up again. But for the time being, I think you just need to play your best players with your best players. Understand that that line needs to be the line more than any other line that is generating offense for your team. And then just hope to find something from the three other lines right now. I don't think we have the time necessarily to just keep on keeping on. We got to do something.
Well, the Rangers need a right wing rental. That's what they kind of need right now. To a player they can go out and get something like I don't know, like a Riley Smith from Vegas, something like that.
You're saying the name again, huh?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, and I think it's important so people understand this. Jack Eichel he's not dead physically, but we passed the point of him being a New York Ranger a very long time ago.
I don't actually think it was a long time ago. It was about 3 weeks. Three, 4 weeks.
I think it was I'm going to say a long time ago because it's been clear for even longer than just 3 weeks that Drury wasn't upping his offer and Buffalo wasn't lowering their price. And if neither one of those two things was going to happen, he wasn't going to be a New York Ranger. It doesn't matter if they're lowering their price for other teams, which they are.
They are.
They weren't going to lower their price for the New York Rangers, so this dream's been dead for a while. But as this dream is dead, it's important to remember that the New York Rangers still have $8 million in cap space. And there are still teams dying to move impact players on 1 or 2 year deals to teams that can absorb those contracts and possibly get something in return. Now, I will say, There's a name that you have mentioned on this podcast before, and he very comfortably fits within that $8 million of cap space.
Mr. Kessel.
And he has the pedigree that some players or teams might like. And I understand that Riley Smith has a relationship with Gerard Gallant, but I do think the name to watch is Phil Kessel.
Boy, Kessel on the Rangers would be something. I know he's just like – I know he's not the player he used to be, but maybe New York would
– He's 34.
Yeah, well, of course. Maybe the New York would bring it out of him. I don't know. It's the Rangers are in this weird position now, and this is – again, if the Adam Fox news didn't happen today, this is kind of the direction I was going to go in, where you and I have sat here the last 2 years and talked about the hope and the future and what the Rangers are building towards. And we won two lotteries – getting Lafreniere and Kaapo Kakko, whether those were the right picks or not, that's what you got. And they were the right picks at the time, no matter what. When you have those players, you start building towards what you consider your championship roster. You now have everybody on your championship roster signed. That's it. Maybe the Rangers can make one more big move to bring in somebody, a second line C. So maybe they're going to try and find a value at second line center. Who knows what they're going
to
go for?
I personally, I don't know. Not to cut you off, but yeah. This is an interesting roster building question that I'm going to ask you. Would you rather have a long-term 2C or kind of play like the revolving door at 2C? Like baseball teams do this all the time, right? They have their two stalwart starting pitchers, but then occasionally the good teams allow that third starting pitcher every year to just be a different guy every year. So are you more comfortable? Do you need the Rangers to sign someone long-term to be the second-line center? Or are you cool with them understanding that we have Philip Hedl here, maybe we can keep rolling the dice short-term for 2C and mix and match, see what works, let the second center be the different flavor you bring into this team every year?
I think I'm cool with that, and that's an interesting way to put it. Again, if it's a player of Eichel's caliber, I think the Rangers should have traded the farm to try and get that kind of player, and I think they tried to. I think they tried to trade every player that is now a damaged asset for Eichel. And
it might have been a damaged asset back then, too, which is why the Sabres maybe didn't make – there are a lot of reasons why the Sabres didn't make the trade. And again, I'm going to remind people that one of them is not our stupid billboard.
But if it was, though
– if it was, that's fucking hilarious. We're going to talk about it all the time.
Yes, if that ever comes out in like a book or something. So I would rather go for the 2C, kind of play it by ear, maybe try and find something every 2 years, two, 3 years. But it's hard to sign guys to those kind of deals, especially in the NHL. Everyone wants 6+ years if you're anything worth anything.
Well, that's what I'm like. Would you rather play revolving door musical chairs 2C, or are you giving Ryan Strome 5 years?
Like, I like so Hurdle is a guy we've mentioned a lot from San Jose, and it's grown on me. It's a player I wasn't really interested in, but I don't think he fits under the cap structure the Rangers have. Like, it's tight.
He's especially since he's getting seven. I don't know any. There's no other way to say he's not getting $7 million, because
he is
very much is.
Yeah,
there's no question in my
mind.
He's
only a year younger than Mika Zibanejad. He's probably going to get seven over seven. So, or maybe I don't think he's going to stay in San Jose. I think he'll go elsewhere.
No, but he's at least getting 5 years. If Strome's going to get 5 years, Hurdle's going to get 5 years. And if Strome's going to get 5.5, which I think he will, Hurdle's getting 7.5. Like, he's a good player, and good players are going to get paid. This is bad players get paid in the NHL.
There are times I'd rather have Ryan Strome than Philip Deneau. And Deneau plays in L.A.
Yes,
for a lot of
especially,
money.
I mean, especially right now, right? Because the New York Rangers can't buy a goal. And it's not like Deneau would be here helping the New York Rangers
buy
a goal.
He's not that kind of player.
He ain't that guy.
You're not that guy. That's what he's not. And Ryan Strome is that guy sometimes. And when he hits the net, it's magical. And if he could just fix that, he'd be like a really good 2C. He'd be incredible. But he's not that guy. He loves to miss the net. And I know we're making fun of Ryan Strome, who's been incredible for the New York Rangers. And we're constantly trying to replace him. But he might be their best option. This might be your squad you're going to win a championship with. Which brings me back to my... Hold on. I misspoke. You're going to try to win a championship with. And that brings me back to my original point. We were building for these last 2 years. We're finally here. And the Rangers are struggling. They're getting beat by a team that we thought in Seattle was like a hodgepodge of what is this? What is happening? Why do they even draft this way? And that team is
it did make sense
them.
That Eberle scored, though. That, yeah, that I mean, we that all should have seen coming.
That was a lock. Yeah. I wish we'd bet this stuff. I damn. It's such a.
I was very tired yesterday in my defense. I didn't want to. I've been to the casino so much to bet these goddamn Braves that if I have to keep going back, I think they're going to get my driver's license one more time and just be like, there's a 1-800 number that we have posted on this wall that you might need to call. And I would try to then explain to them that, no, I'm being a responsible human by spike betting a team. And they're like, no, what you're saying is exactly why you need to call this 1-800 number. So I can't – until Kathy Hochul gets her shit together and legalizes this mobile app, I can't be making this bet all the time. Just can't be doing it right.
Yeah, well, once it's mobile, I mean, we got to bet that kind of stuff. Really?
Yes. Once it's mobile, it's irresponsible of us not to.
Yeah, it's like throwing away money. There are just certain players that are always going to score versus the Rangers. And Eberle being one of them is a lock. That was incredible. Anyway, so the Rangers got absolutely totally outmanned, outplayed, out everything, with the exception of Igor Shesterkin and Adam Fox showing his brilliance for a couple seconds there, while Chris Kreider learns how to shoot from outside of 3 feet for one night. And I think they only had 18 shots for the whole game. It was freaking brutal, man. And this is the team that you're going to be going to war with. There's not a lot of flexibility here. I mean, I hate to repeat this one thing that was the summer mantra, but it was. Well, first of all, the mantra was anything is possible until it wasn't. And the second thing is the Rangers were looking for a top six player to come in and revolutionize, not revolutionize, but add to that top six talent to finally take them over the edge. I'm assuming they're still looking for that. They're still going out trying to find it, but it's not Jack Eichel now, and it's not going to be Hurdle unless you trade away another piece. I don't know what it is at this point. I'm really curious. Because the Rangers all have the I'm pieces. Saying, they do. Like, there are a lot of prospects to ship out who won't have time to play for the Rangers the next couple of years. That right side is locked up. It's not a lot for the defense. Not a lot of room. If Nils hits, which I'm assuming he's going to, he's going to be some sort of NHL caliber player. There's no room on the right side for like 5-6 years, period. End of story.
Yeah, again, that's largely why I'm very okay if the Rangers just want to keep playing I was going to say tomato. Like I had tomato in my head, but I'm hungry, so I was thinking potato. Good potato. So a hot tomato. Just some Phil Kessel numbers. Two guys talking about hot dogs.
No big.
His last full season with the Pittsburgh Penguins, the last truly good team Phil Kessel was on, 82 points in 82 games, 27 goals, 55 assists.
That's good.
Pretty good. His full season before the shutdown with the Coyotes, lackluster, only 38 points in 70 games. Last season, though, Ryan, in 56 games, this is a guy who scored 20 goals, had 43 points. I understand. I should be doing this with the Rampum charts, right? Because I'm being an old
guy. Yeah, we're doing the old guy now. Thing, which is like, hey, look at the points. Think about it.
Look at the points. But I know Chris Drury is, so it's
hey, we're just doing what Chris Drury would do, okay? You're going to his player, his hockey reference page, and you go, look at the points.
All right. Let me I'm pulling it up. Yep. I'm being a guy.
Rampum charts.
We're going to Phil Kessel. You were talking for a very long time. I could have done this entire thing.
This is what we call ramping it up on the podcast. Looking for Rampum charts. You like that? A little hockey analytic talk.
So here's the thing, right? We can admit that the New York Rangers, whether it's goaltending, and honestly, the top four the Rangers have been playing has been playing really well defensively, right? The third pair is kind of getting blown out of the water.
Some of that getting destroyed.
Some of that expected. Nils Lundqvist, literal child, playing against Ben for the first time.
Nemeth getting exposed, for sure.
Nemeth getting exposed. Phil Kessel, if you look at his overall Rappum chart from our good friends over at Evolving Hockey, the number is not friendly. However, offensively, especially at even strength, which is something the New York Rangers desperately need right now, the man is a 68. That's not ideal. You could probably pay for better.
Is it 2 years of his contract or one? Is it two?
Nope, this is it. He's a free agent at the end of this year.
Oh, man, it looks good. I want in.
It makes a lot of sense,
I want in.
Ryan.
You know what? Here's the real reason I want in. It would be so much fun. It would be.
Oh, my God. Would it ever?
Yeah, the content would be great. I'd have a great time with Phil Kessel. And the quotes, everything, the vibe, he would be great here. I don't think it's going to be him. I really don't. But, man, I mean, could you get him to keep half the salary? Would that even matter at this point? I don't think it would.
Do the Rangers? Well,
what are you giving
the
up?
Next,
right?
The Rangers really need to make one move, right? They don't have a lot of room to make more than one move.
No, they don't have a lot of room to make more than like six moves the next like 5 years.
But I'm not even thinking long term. I'm thinking for this season.
Yeah.
Can you see a scenario where the New York Rangers are adding more than one player to their forward group or one defenseman? I don't even think I see room for one defenseman.
I don't know. I don't see a way the Rangers add a defenseman unless some serious injury happens. And I could see them adding two forwards, the second forward being super minor.
I can't see them adding two forwards. Who are you taking out of that bottom six?
Well, Barron would come up, right? So.
Well, Barron, we have no room for Barron. You're telling me you're going to take someone else out and put someone else in and move Barron even further down the pecking order? First of all, I think Barron's getting traded. Lock that one up. Second, I think the Rangers have room for one. And it's unfortunately probably going to be Dryden Hunt's spot, which is not a knock on Dryden Hunt. But you take Hunt out of the lineup, you move Goodrow down, you put someone like Kessel in. I think that's your one move. That's your one, barring a major injury. The Rangers, they don't have a lot of holes. And a lot of their holes are filled by their own players just playing better or regressing to their mean. Like being the players we expect Mika Zibanejad and Artemi Panarin to be. So it's not like the Rangers need to change a lot. They,
right.
They have the equation right. They don't quite have the answer yet, and it's because there's this one solve for X in the middle of the problem that they haven't quite solved for. And that's where I think someone like Phil Kessel is just this perfect fit. And it's everything that makes you groan about 200 hockey men, right? The has been there before, championship caliber, playoff performer, big market success, yada, yada, has played with stars in his past, blah, blah, blah. All the bullshit reasons that these guys just orgasm to. But it's also the stuff that the Rangers analytically fucking need. So he's one of those few players that is a perfect pairing between the old heads are going to love it, which is the most important because they're the ones that are going to make the trade. But this dude is also just going to be the perfect puzzle piece for the New York Rangers. And oh, by the way, he's a right-handed shot that plays right wing. Could you think of a more perfect match?
No, there's very few. I think the Smith thing with the connection with Vegas and Gallant's going to fight for that, but I really don't know who else they'd look for. Maybe they try to take a big swing at the deadline. They're going to be shopping.
The only real argument I can see for Riley Smith from a why would Vegas trade him standpoint is they have to find this money somewhere. But that's the thing. We're at a point now with Eichel where they're just going to lightning it the entire year. Eichel ain't going to play until the playoffs.
Oh, no way.
You kidding me?
No way.
So they don't even need to move Riley Smith right now. And Riley Smith, by the way, worse than Phil Kessel right now.
Agreed.
Not scoring.
Agreed.
Not scoring.
I just think the familiarity goes for it with the Gallant.
He already got Ryan Reeves. What more does he want?
Hey, listen, Ryan Reeves has been great.
I love it. That's not a knock on Ryan Reeves. I'm just saying.
He's been great.
He had one trump card. He played it. And now
clearly has changed the dynamic in the locker room. I don't know if you saw that video where he screams behind Shesterkin, "Release us, Chesty!" It's like unbelievable. Guy's a psychopath. He's crazy. I kind of love it. I know he's not the best hockey player, but boy, he does change the atmosphere very quick. Yeah, and it has
everybody. Every friend group needs that guy, though.
It has value. It really does. I was watching a video on a soccer team earlier. I know Nerdy Ryan, Brentford, and they're talking about like their chemistry and how they bring in certain guys that are just there for that reason. And they feel like that has analytical purposes to it, but they can't yet quantify it. And that's what people have been doing forever in sports. Ryan Reeves is just that for the New York Rangers.
Oh, this is where fucking A-Rod comes in with like, you can't measure a man's heart.
Stop.
And then someone's like, we have EKGs. You can do that.
There's a difference between, you can measure some chemistry and leadership. You can figure that out. There's a good way to do that. Sometimes
A-Rod was never able to figure that shit out. No. That much we know for sure.
Yeah. You couldn't even figure out how to convince the other player to let him play shortstop when he was way better at it. So there you go.
You couldn't figure out how to keep Jennifer Lopez away from a man she's already broken up with twice.
That's crazy. Isn't he on the Timberwolves now or some shit? I don't know.
Who? He's A-Rod? Yeah. I think he tried to buy them, right? But didn't something weird happen there where they...
I don't know.
Like he's not. I don't know. I try not to stay abreast with what's happening.
I wanted to like
A-Rod
Alexander
more, Rodriguez.
Even now, I just can't. I just can't. Anyway, New York Rangers have a lot of questions to answer over the next couple of years and very limited Very limited.
Over the next couple of years, over the next couple of weeks, bro. What do you mean years?
That's true. Well, I'm looking at the long term now that like everybody is just locked up. I think there's like five players till 2025 on the roster just locked up right now. They're just
also shout out Fox and his agent, because we are a big everybody needs to get paid, everybody get the bag podcast, right? Even with Barclay Goodrow, we don't blame Barclay Goodrow.
No,
for the contract.
I blame the Rangers for giving him 6 years. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Correct. But good for Goodrow. We're happy you got the bag. Great for Adam Fox. Dude guaranteed getting the bag twice in his life. That man, again, very few hockey players. I take a step back and go, no, that Harvard education, that fucking checks out.
I
that
do
makes
love
a lot of
how
sense.
The Harvard education was, hold on. I've looked at aging charts, and we think we can get a second contract if we take 1 year off this.
We think? We know? We know. What do you think?
We know. We've done the math. What's minus one?
Cool. He just saw what Mika Zibanejad got and what Artemi Panarin got before that. He's like, yeah, no, fuck you. I'm going to be a free agent again at the ripe old age of 30, and I know this league ain't going to get smarter.
Well, the Rangers,
so
the Rangers are
going to
pay him again. That's for sure. That'll happen.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Like, everybody gives – not to bring up Vitali Kravtsov, because boy is that boring, and man am I tired of it, but everybody's like, oh, Vitali Kravtsov, here's a kid that should have just accepted his assignment, should have just gone, should have put his chin up, been the bigger man, blah blah blah, done all these things, blah blah blah. You know, Adam Fox did this to two different organizations.
Yeah, he left, he forced his way out.
He pushes his way out of Calgary, and he's like, I'm never playing for fucking Calgary. And they're like, all right, fine. And then he's like, oh, you traded me to Carolina? Want to know where else? I'm not going to fucking play Carolina. But because he's Adam Fox, who's from New York, and he came to New York Rangers, all of us are very forgiving. Me, at the top of the line. I am the most forgiving man in the world when it comes to what Adam Fox did.
Yeah.
At the same time, if his name was like Anton Foxilovich or whatever the Russian version of it is,
right?
Oh, you'd be shitting on him if he was doing this to like if he was either doing this to the Rangers or doing this to like Vegas or some shit, everyone would be losing their damn
problem
mind.
Player,
it's
problem
just because
player.
Yeah, it's just because he ended up on your favorite team that you're like, nah, man, there's no fucking problem.
He ended up on your favorite team and he won the Norris at 22, so yeah. That's good.
Yeah, so maybe shut the fuck up if that's your point about Vitali Kravtsov. I don't know.
The Kravtsov thing is a problem on all sides. Everybody involved is
sure,
is wrong.
But let's not pretend that this hasn't directly benefited the New York Rangers.
Oh, yeah, it has. Yeah, if you think winning the lottery was nice, the lottery that Adam Fox was born in on Long Island was way better. Like, I
on Long Island, while the Islanders sucked and while some dude named Lundqvist was in net
for
New York.
I'll make it better. It had a Brian Leetch idolization from his dad. There you go. And now has become that model.
Dude.
Exactly.
That dude.
He just is that dude. I promise. He is that dude. To make a reference from earlier. Is today a Bones Day?
Oh, I should have checked. I meant to check.
Yeah, please
you know
do.
What today? Today, today's a Chin Day, right?
Oh, this is all Chin right, Day. Is Chin Day the thing?
I think Chin Day is the thing.
It's a Chin Day.
It's a Chin Day.
Hey, it's a Chin Day.
It's a Chin Day.
Yeah. It's either Chin Day or it's not a Chin Day. Today, Chin Day. I love it. All right. Do you want to do some 5-star questions before we get to our guests?
I feel like we should.
I feel like we should too. This is from Dan from SoCal.
But it is also a no bones day. Rest up. Be kind to yourselves.
Okay. I'm being kind to myself. I'm celebrating Adam Fox. Thank you.
It's Chin Day.
It's a Chin Day. Yeah, tweet that one out right now. It's a Chin Day.
I am on it.
Yeah. Dan from SoCal. One of my best friends is a diehard Blackhawks fan who has habitually watched them for the last decade. However, he told me recently he can't watch them right now. He's disgusted with a lot of the main players. So my question is, who gets traded first, Taze or Jack Eichel?
They're not trading Taze.
They can't.
You expect the Blackhawks to learn anything from all of this?
Yeah, everything about the Blackhawks. There's a lot that's happened today that we haven't touched on because it's been a nice day for the New York Ranger fans that I don't really want to get into. But by God, that Bettman press conference was one of the worst PR press conferences I've ever heard. Ever. Ever. The guy, he said everything wrong. It was like, what? I'm having a brain like explosion just thinking about how bad it was. It was terrible. And I don't think the Blackhawks will learn, like Greg said.
No. First of all, Kyle Beach, incredible human being.
The
has lived through, done more, better human being than I'll probably be able to achieve in my entire life. Not even probably, than I'll be able to achieve in my entire life. The dude deserves all the praise, deserves so much. The fact that he sat down for an interview and apologized for not being able to speak up sooner. I don't know how people got through that entire press conference.
The press conference, when I watch it, it's really hard to watch. And the bravery.
What does anyone?
Dude, the bravery
anyone
it took to do that is unbelievable.
Oh, dude, incredible. But what does? Let's not also kid ourselves here. Does anybody really expect the Chicago Blackhawks or the National Hockey League to learn from this? Joel Quenneville coached that night. Cheval Dayoff, still employed. Not just employed, they found reasons not to discipline him, which is remarkable.
Hey, listen, he wasn't high enough up. He was only assistant general manager, a job that Chris Drury had, okay? He didn't really know a lot.
He was in the room. Like,
what?
What else?
It's
what,
not that hard.
Literally, what the fuck else? Even if, like, all he had to do is be like, guys, this is a bad idea, and then if nobody listened to him, I agree. Don't penalize the man. If he physically spoke up and said, this is wrong, what we're doing is wrong, we need to go about this differently, that dude shouldn't be penalized. But instead, we're just saying, well, he didn't say anything, and had he said something, it would have been ignored, so we can't penalize the guy. No, you fucking can. What? Fuck off. Fuck you, Bettman.
That was
shithead.
So stupid. It's so
but
dumb.
But I don't expect the NHL. Donald Fair is still in
charge
of the
NHLPA.
Dude,
did you see? They said they were like, hey, we reached out. We actually closed the racism case. No big deal. We already contacted the representative. The representatives came back and were like, actually, we haven't heard anything. That's a lie. It's like, what? Oh, my God.
They closed the case and everybody's happy except the people that filed the case.
Very interesting. NHL?
It's just the dumbest league.
You do say it all the time, but it is true.
Yeah, and I understand that it's other leagues are also dumb. Like this, when I say it, it's not me getting Rob Manfred, the shit he said about why the Braves are still not just allowed to do the chop, but somehow encouraging them to just do it more. Yeah, he's got big dumb fuck energy too, so I don't want to let him off the hook. But
why does the NHL us guests?
I'm not shitting on
no,
NHL.
No, I know. I'm just
time,
just making a joke.
Yeah,
that's
no,
all.
But you're bringing up good points. Yeah, it is fair. We are our own worst enemies because we have the gall, Ryan, the gall to say what we're feeling.
It's very weird.
People don't like that. Really don't.
But if you want to support us, you know how to do it. There you go.
Yes, and again, credit where credit is due. Ryan had this shit at 1 o'clock.
I did.
You can go in and see the timestamp. It is there. I don't want to be the guy that has to give Ryan credit. Lord knows it's not my thing. But I wasn't on the interwebs a lot today. I responsibly was trying to be an adult and was updating stuff and things
for
that
future
maybe
things.
People who would like to give me money enjoy.
I think some people call that a job.
I didn't want to be blunt about
right.
it. But yes, hashtag hire Greg. Today is a hire Greg
day. Hire
Greg day. That is the other thing that we're going to get working. Ryan had it. We aren't the guys that are going to go on Twitter and be like, sources, Rangers have signed Adam Fox, Adam Lundqvist. Yeah, might as well be. We're not those guys. That's not our role. But we do get tidbits, and we tell people that pay us money.
Hey, that's how it works. Listen, it's a giver. It's a chin day.
It's a chin day, baby.
It's a chin day. All right. Let's get to the next 5-star question here, which you can leave on Patreon. This is from Bronx Harlem Hockey. Despite the win now mentality, the Rangers still have a fairly deep prospect pool. Have we reached the point where we are trading most of the prospects/picks away, or are we still developing them? What are the odds that Morgan Barron's starting as a Ranger for at least a few years? I mean, you said it earlier. You think he's locked to get traded at this point?
Well, he's like the most logical trade chip again, because it's not just think about it from a New York Rangers standpoint. Think about it from an other organizational standpoint. Morgan Barron is a dude a lot of teams would love to have in their farm system. He's a bit of an accessory for the New York Rangers, but Coyotes would absolutely love to have a dude like that in their lineup. Who are you kidding? I don't like the mindset of now that the Rangers are good, they don't need to have all their picks, because the really good teams are constantly backfilling their minor leagues, right? Just look at the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays aren't going to draft in the top 15 of a baseball draft for 10 years.
Doesn't matter.
And they're still going to find these guys nonstop. It's what they do. So, no, I don't think the Rangers should be out here willy-nilly trading stuff away. But this is – essentially, this can all go back to my point about offer sheets. When you offer sheet really good players, you're not sacrificing four straight lottery picks. You're sacrificing picks you expect to be at the back end of the first round, where the odds of that guy being an impact NHLer are less than 5%. So the Rangers are now entering that point of their rebuild where I hope Chris Drury is smart enough to understand that the draft picks he will have that he can dangle at the deadline aren't going to be Alexi Lafreniere or Kaapo Kakko. Hell, they won't even be Brennan Othman. They'll be guys at the end of drafts that other teams are going to have to lean heavily on their scouting department to uncover. And those are picks you should be willing to trade. Again, if the Rangers aren't going to ask the Coyotes to eat money, I don't even think you need to give them a first-round pick for Phil Kessel, since Kessel gets to decide where he's going. If he wants to go to the Rangers, he just gets to be a Ranger. But yes, the Rangers should be willing to trade first-round picks right now. They shouldn't be too concerned with trading picks in back-to-back years. And if they like a guy, they shouldn't let draft picks, prospects, stop them from getting that guy. But they shouldn't just trade them for the sake of trading them. That is never the point.
This is from Mason Spades. Can you think of any team that could have the Norris winner and the Vezina winner in the same season and struggle, or if not fail, to make the playoffs? Because that's how I feel about the Rangers right now. I cannot. I cannot. The Rangers have a lot of if I told you on paper, like blind test, you don't know anything about hockey, like this team, all right, they have the second best left wing in the league. They have the number one overall pick, the number two overall pick, a top three goalie, and the best defenseman in the league. You'd be like, that team is sick. Like, I don't know. That team had 18 shots on Sunday night. It's like, well, okay, cool. That's where we're at.
At the same time, it's a struggle on a nightly basis, right? In the micro, this seems like a struggle. But in the, again, you pull out, hashtag Troy Aikman. You pull out and you see that this is a team, again, where 8 of the 9 games have been grueling and difficult, but they're 6-2-1. I don't expect it to be a struggle for the Rangers to make the playoffs. This team, Igor Shesterkin, at the current rate he's playing, is so good that the New York Rangers will make the playoffs even if they don't start scoring. What happens, though, if you make the playoffs and you're not scoring, is it's a very short trip. And I think that is where you'll reflect on this year and be like, wow, the Rangers had the Vezina, the Norris, Panarin, Zibanejad, Kakko, Lafreniere, Trouba, Miller. They had all these guys, and they couldn't advance past the first fucking round. Well, yeah, if you score on average 2.3 goals per game, it'll be fucking hard to win 12 straight games. Or 16 straight games.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. Last one from David. How does the Fox contract, shout out to Ryan for the insider scoop, affect your Chris Drury GM rankings? It doesn't. It's the easiest thing Chris Drury's ever done in his entire life. There's never been an easier decision. Like, picking breakfast most mornings was harder for Chris Drury than giving Adam Fox his contract. So stupid easy.
Yeah, and I can't give... Chris Drury didn't make the Foxes move to Jericho, New York, right? Like, Adam Fox is a New York Ranger because Adam Fox grew up loving the New York Rangers, and this is the only team he wants to play for. Chris Drury, maybe Adam Fox likes Chris Drury on a personal level and made it that much easier to sign the contract, but it was like going from a 97% I'm signing the contract to a, yeah, I'm signing the contract. So I'm happy Chris Drury didn't fuck it up. But I'm not giving him more credit than that.
No,
there's
way.
No more credit to give him.
That's it. All right. That's enough for us. Let's go over to our interview right now. Let's transition over. Oh, you have anything else you want to say? I guess I should ask you.
I see the Mets aren't retaining Zach Scott. No fucking shit. That's good to see.
Cool.
Still here. All right, Ryan, new question. What happens first? Jack Eichel gets traded or the Mets hire a president of baseball
operations? So I asked you this question.
The Mets hire anybody.
I said to you, I was like, I think end of November, mid-November. And you were like, Ryan, if they're not sorted out by that time, I will have a meltdown. We're getting there. We are getting there.
I'm still going to have the meltdown.
I'll say Eichel first. There you go.
Yeah, because it's starting to feel like Eichel's actually going to get done in the next couple days here.
Yeah, I think
there's
in Vegas.
Just no hope the Mets hire anybody in the next couple days.
I think the Buffalo Sabres are happy to send him to Vegas. The package will be underwhelming.
Yeah,
that's the only way to put it.
And we'll have an emergency podcast about all of it where we're just happy it's over.
Yes, we'll have a celebration. Well,
Do we get a second billboard to say thank God?
Thank God. No, I want you to get this next one. I want you to get this next income. All right, let's transition over to our good friend, and we'll go from there. Transition. Hey, we're back with Sarah Griffin. She is a writer for La Crosse Flash, fastest sport on 2 feet, by the way, and Pitcher's List, my former employer. Sarah, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Before you jumped on the call, we were talking about how much of a shit show the NHL is. What's it like following the NHL day these days for everybody? Because it's terrible for us.
I would say it's just so, so miserable. It's like hard to even like focus on just like the Bruins. I'm like, I feel kind of silly right now. Like just with everything, especially Bettman's conference Woo! Today. I'm just like, this is embarrassing. It is so embarrassing being a hockey fan right now.
Sarah, a lot of people who know you on the interwebs, they understand you're a Bruin fan, but they understand most importantly you're a Red Sox fan. If you had to choose death match, Rob Manfred or Gary Bettman, and you need one of them to come away from it, who is it?
Oh God.
Good question, Greg.
Thank you.
Oh, I guess
Sarah
Manfred,
chooses death.
I guess.
I love, by the way, I just love that you're taking the commissioner where all of us agree baseball's about to have a work stoppage in like 4 weeks. And all of us are like, yeah, probably that guy still anyway.
Still him. Anyone over Bettman right now.
That's where we're at.
What a world.
That's where we're at. I mean, listen, the Rangers signed Adam Fox to a long-term extension today. All Ranger fans are happy for the first time in a long time. We tend to complain. We're not always united on these topics, which brings me to my question, actually. When McAvoy signed his extension, was Bruins Twitter united? Was anybody complaining?
I'd say like 95% of Bruins Twitter was very happy with it. But of course, like any other fan base, there's the other 5% who are like, oh, that's overpaid. That's too long of a contract. Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. As if Charlie McAvoy isn't him and Pasta together aren't the future of that franchise down the line. But for the most part, everyone was happy. I think it was a good deal on both sides.
Are you surprised that McAvoy, a born and bred Long Island kid, is just immersing himself in Boston sports these days? It feels like he's taking it to a point that is a little not offensive, but I'm calling bullshit is really what I'm getting down to on this.
I always have wondered about that just because I think it is kind of funny how much he's just turned from, because, you know, he has that famous tweet that pops up every few weeks, like, I hate the Bruins so much, that he tweeted in like high school. And now he fully is like, you know, he has the Red Sox hat. He's always at Boston sports events, you know. He's fully into Boston now. And I love it, but I do question it sometimes. Not that I question how legit he is about it, but I'm just like, I don't know if I could ever do that, no matter like where I move, like what my job is. Even if I have a long-term deal like that, I don't know if I could ever like push myself to be anyone other than like a Bostonian.
Sarah, I have to tell you, $9.5 million would change your mind pretty quickly.
That's true.
I don't want to be that
See,
guy.
I'm not signing any jobs for that money, so that never really occurred to me.
Sarah, I'm a Rays fan, and I don't like the Islanders, but I will wear a Boston Red Sox hat or a Yankee cap whenever, or an Islanders jersey if someone gives me $9.5 million. I'll start an Islanders podcast tomorrow. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah,
it
no.
That.
Okay, yeah, if someone gave me $9.5 million, I'll be like, I was never a Red Sox fan. I've always been to the Yankees.
Love Aaron Judge. What a great guy. Starts spreading the news, right, guys?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Insane. What's it been? What's the Bruins, like, vibe this year so far? Is it, like, cup or bust situation yet again? Is it almost time to rebuild? Where are we at?
I wouldn't say it's cup or bust, but it's a lot of question marks, honestly, this season. It kind of sucks because the Bruins have had such a weird schedule, too. Like, they've barely played. Like, I think they've played 5 games now. Like, I can't really get a read on them yet still. And then, I don't know. There's just too many question marks, and I don't see them like, as much as I would love to say, yeah, there you go, this is the year. Everyone talks about that window with the Bruins core and stuff. And I kind of feel like now without Krejci and then Tuukka's maybe coming back in February, I hate to say, it kind of feels like that window has officially passed. I don't want it to, just because I want to see like Bergeron get another win there before he retires, whatever that may be. But I don't know. It's a very weird vibe this year.
First of all, as a Ranger fan, I am required by law to say, when you say Bergeron gets another one, fuck off, kindly. Just what a wonderful thing cool. for someone to say about their like all-time favorite hockey player. Wish I could say the same.
Yeah. I wish Lundqvist would get another one. The only thing
another sports Emmy is what I'm trying to say with Henrik Lundqvist.
Cool.
Incredible. But I guess I think I had a question after that, but the joke really stole whatever
Got
thunder
it.
That
I'll,
I was
I'll do
say.
It. Was there ever a chance that the Boston Bruins ever had a shot at getting Jack Eichel, or would it had to have gone to a section where he had his no movement clause in place and he forced his way to Boston?
I kind of thought if it were to happen, it would be him forcing his way in, because you know he wants to be in Boston. Like, he went to the Red Sox game with a bunch of Bruins like last month, and they showed him up because I was at the game. They showed him up on the screen. I was like, he wants to be a part of them so bad.
I think in 5 years he will be, happening. So congratulations in advance.
Yeah, I'm like, years down the line, he'll
be there. So you don't see a way he like kind of forces himself into the situation now?
I don't think so, no. I'm definitely not getting my hopes up, at least.
What's been the general vibe in Boston about Eichel? Because Ranger fans, it's been like literally civil war. It's people coming up with reasons why they don't want him. He's damaged good. He's broken. Other people saying he's too expensive. Other Rangers fans saying, this is Jack Eichel we're talking about. You give up whatever you give up for him, you're getting one of the best players in hockey. I don't feel, as an outsider, I don't feel like Boston fans have had a reckoning when it comes to whether they are or aren't getting Jack Eichel. And they're kind of just sitting on the sidelines being like, hey, if it happens, it happens, whatever transpires here goes, go Sox. Have we misread Boston and their love of Eichel? Has there actually been a underswelling of people saying, no, this shit needs to happen. It needs to happen now. And we're not talking about it until this happens.
I'd say it's like an 80-20 ratio. So 80% are like, if it happens, it happens, but I'm not counting on it. You know, most rational people. There's another like just sector I've seen a lot on Bruins Twitter. They think because the like Eichel, you know, Boston kid, I don't know if they're just like, oh, like anyone that like people buy into the Bruins culture, they buy into being in Boston, like all this stuff. They think like Jack Eichel himself is going to like write himself up a deal or something. Like, they're very sure it's going to happen somehow. It will play into our ways. I don't know where they got that idea, other than the fact like, well, he's from Boston, so of course he's going to come here. Because that is kind of how the Bruins sometimes do their trades and recruit. Like, oh, it's a Boston kid. But I don't think that will be how it plays out, sadly.
Is there a team in the East right now that you fear playing? It's clearly not the Maple Leafs, because the Bruins have owned them for years. But what is the one squad that, if you're in a playoff series, I'm not talking about the Avalanche or the Vegas Golden Knights, somebody in the East, what's the one squad you don't want to face off against?
Everyone's really good this year.
The Metro is a bloodbath. We do not like it.
God, I just... Most of them, I really don't.
Is
probably
it the Carolina
Panthers.
Hurricanes? Panthers, that's a good one. They just lost their coach, though, so maybe not.
I feel like they're such a dark horse out of nowhere. And the Bruins, like, they've just played them now 2 times in a row. The first time they lost them, the second time they won in a shootout. But they just look so much better than they did before.
Yeah, there's just... It's kind of like that taking the leap. It's kind of the what I hoped would happen with the New York Rangers this year. Even though they are 6-2-1 as the time of this recording, they have struggle bust, I think is the way to say that, getting through to that situation. And I thought they would take that leap this year, and some of their players have. Their Vezina, probably favorite goalie, and their Norris Trophy winner, Adam Fox, but everyone else kind of like just chilling. Meanwhile, in Florida and the Hurricanes, they can't stop winning. Those are the two teams I think on my radar I wouldn't want to play against.
Sarah, I'm...
Yeah.
Oh, Donna, you go ahead first, and I'll ask my question. So I'm going to remember.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I'm also not too apt on the Hurricanes. They scare me as well. Not as much as the Panthers right now, but they're up there.
A thing I'm always interested in, because Boston is a one-team, one-town city across all its sports. Everybody is united. They understand the mission. But when it comes to Rangers fans and their relationship with our rivalry with the Bruins, it's splintered because half the fan base are also Yankee fans, and everything is fuck Boston all the time. And other half of the fan base are Met fans, and it's like we hate ourselves too much to really hate anybody else. And then half the fan base are Giant fans, where it's like Tom Brady doesn't scare us. We don't care about him. We're the only team that beats him. While the other half of the fan base are Jet fans. And it's like, if I see Tom Brady in the dark alley, I'm going to shiv him. So no one can get on the same page with how to feel about Boston sports from a Ranger perspective. But in Boston, what is the opinion of your daily Ranger fan? How angry do we make you? Do you give us the time of day? Do you tell us to fuck ourselves? What's happening?
That's a good question.
Man, I'm on fire.
Like the general consensus. I feel like the general consensus is like, oh, fuck the Rangers, fuck their fans. But at the same time, it's not like, I feel like it's not hostile. Like it is like, say, like Red Sox, Yankees, where it's like a bloodbath.
I feel like it's the Madman elevator scene. Like, I don't really think about you, is how Boston feels about the Rangers.
Yeah. I feel like when we play, like, the Bruins play the Rangers, it's like, oh, yeah, like, fuck the Rangers, blah, blah, blah. But any other day, they're just like, eh.
So Ranger fans don't really have the Bruins in their top five rivals, I wouldn't say. I don't think we even make yours either. I mean, who is it? It's really, like, who are you? Who would you say the Bruins are your top guy, your top guns?
Like, I would say, like, for obviously, like, speaking, I'm like, oh, the Habs, but they just haven't really been relevant to us. So then I'm like, oh, the Leafs. So I'm like, I mean, we always beat them.
Man, poor Leafs fans. I guess. Like, you guys just crush them.
Oh, just like, poor Boston fans. They've gotten so used to winning, they forgot what it's like to hate. Like, come on.
I mean, I really hate the Lightning, but I feel like everyone really hates the Lightning.
Oh, well, the Lightning fucking cheat. So there's a difference there.
Let's get to the Red Sox. If you had Mookie Betts, do you win the World Series?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so either. I just wanted to bait you. It worked out. Okay.
No.
Why did you beat the Rays so bad and make me upset?
That's a good question, because honestly, after they, and general consensus, I think for most people was, if the Red Sox beat the Yankees in the wild card, that's our World Series. As we were walking out, because I went to the wild card game, as we were walking out, I took a Snapchat video. It was like, we won the World Series, whatever. It's like, this is the only victory we're getting this postseason. I just expected us to get swept by the Rays. I think pretty much everyone kind of had that thought,
me
too.
Me too, Sarah.
I don't know what happened. The offense just really woke up at the right time, I guess. There's definitely some things that play to the Red Sox favor, I won't lie. We don't have to get into specifics, but definitely.
As a non-Rays fan, maybe. I would like to get into specifics. What specific things? Sarah, have you considered, with how well you have it as a Red Sox fan, of writing a very long, lengthy thank you note to the Wilpons for giving you Chaim Bloom?
I do love Chaim Bloom.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
But it's too early. It's too early for that.
What do you mean? He came from the Rays. You're going to be fine.
He should have been a Met. What do you mean?
You're making us really angry, Sarah. Thanks for coming on, though. I really appreciate it. Who is the player on the Bruins right now that nobody's talking about but should be? If there is one. We prepped all these questions, by the way. We had like a 70-minute meeting to make sure. No, we're actually making this all up as we go. So there we go.
Am I allowed to say Jake DeBrus, because everyone just thought he would be a bust this year and kind of thought he was a bust last? Because I've been on this. I'm like, this is going to be his comeback year. This is Jake's Russ revenge tour, and it is working out so far.
That's a totally fine answer. I mean, that's someone I wasn't thinking about, and now I am. So I appreciate that.
I think that's a good answer. I think the follow-up question that I can have to that is, again, since everything's going so well for Boston sports, how many days do you spend many days thinking about what it'd be like if you just took Barzal, Connor, and whoever the hell the third player was that you could have just drafted back to back to back?
I hate that question. I hate the 2015 draft.
It's cool. Rangers don't really do draft picks. We kind of just like ruin the relationship immediately. It's all
yeah, or we just get the best ones possibly available.
Yeah, that's it.
I try not to think about it too much. It is something that, especially last playoff run, I was like, I mean, if we had Barzal, who knows where we would, like, on our – it was in that Islanders series. I'm like, wow, wouldn't we love to have a guy like that on our side. But yeah. I try not to dwell on it too much because I am bitter about it.
Well, sorry about all your cups. Really, really sorry.
I hope Bergeron can get that last one. It'd be really heartbreaking in the game.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. Greg, do you have any final questions for our friend and guest?
Oh, man. There has to be one more Met-related question that I can squeeze
you
in here.
You want to squeeze one in?
Oh, no, I got it. Okay, Met-related because I'm still Team Beltran. Honest response. Like, Alex Cora coming back, I think he's beloved by Red Sox fans. I don't think the vibe I get is the Red Sox don't really care about the whole Houston Astros aspect of everything that happened. Is that an incorrect vibe? Do I have it all wrong about Alex Cora? I feel like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread that ever happened to Boston sports.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. Most people, myself included, I'm like, well, he did his time. I just love Alex Cora so much. So I was like, thank God he's back. And I know all the players love him too. So that's like best case scenario. So yeah, it is kind of something like, oh yeah, that happened, but let's not talk about it.
Cool, we have like our great manager back. We stole this executive from the Rays, and now we're super happy. Great. Anyway, Sarah, I'm miserable, and I hate life. So it was great having you on. Why don't you pitch what you do and your social and all that good stuff?
Okay, yeah. So I write at Lacrosse Flash and Pitcherless. Then I also have my own podcast with my co-host Kendra Middleton, Saturdays and Seltzers. And then my socials are at SKG_18.
Sweet.
When did the celebrity status really hit for you? Because I couldn't go the entire Red Sox playoff run without something Sarah Griffin hitting my timeline.
I don't know. I don't think I've hit that status quite yet. I think I just tweet a lot, and so that's probably why.
Yeah, I tweet a lot of bullshit, too, to be honest with you. It's kind of terrible. It's a disease, and I live through it. We're actually going to leave, too. So you can follow me on Twitter at O'Reilly. You can follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. We'll be back next week with a bunch of more stuff for you guys. Adam Fox forever. Love you guys. Bye. And this podcast is always brought to you by our Insiders Club, who got some fun news early on a Monday afternoon. And where on Mondays, they continually go. Here they are. So I want to just thank everybody from start to finish. Adam Cassidy, Adam Cohen, Adam Cheech, Alex Gardner, Amber Cohensberger, Austin Biedelman, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Biggs Malone, Brian Doyle, Broadway, Blue Shirt Bleeder. Nailing that one. Chris Finelli, CJ Stellwagen, Dennis Dazen, David Narod and David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, Eric Stagg, George Obritsky, Gib Gartner Cup, Harrison Hasco, Jake Berkowitz, Jerry and Marquez, JD, Jamie Mack, John Hardesty, Chris from Florida, Christoph Berg, Laser Gronkowski, Lucas K, Matthew Kind, who I think I'm going to be in his wedding party, Max Nielsen, Pavel Kodarev, Stephen Lohmeyer, Stig Bulbach, Swinegart, The Drop BK, Tom Sinclairy, Tommy O'Neill, Tor from Manhattan, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, and Will Spector. Cannot thank you all enough. Couldn't do without you. For real. Not even kidding. Love the Insiders chat. Love that you guys hang out. And we'll be back next week, or later this week. We're going to do a Wednesday morning or afternoon or something like that after the Vancouver game on Tuesday night, because it's at 10 p.m. And I'm an old man when it ends at 1 p.m., 1 a.m., and I'll be a sleepy sleeps. Who am I kidding? I'll probably stay up and hate myself. All right, we'll see you guys later. Love you. Bye.